It's time now for Three Stories You Should Know, and I'm joined this week by sports columnist and author George Vesey and by Craig Calcaterra of NBC Sports. Welcome to you both.
Great to be here.
Thank you.
George, I understand that you are currently feeling ambivalent towards your New York Mets. Why is that?
Well, they have unmasked me as the hypocrite I am. I've always railed against teams acquiring useful players late in the season. In the agent free agency, I have hated the salary dump, teams unloading star players. But now, in retirement, I am allowed to root, and I root for the Mets. and I am enjoying every minute of Yoenis Céspedes, the Cuban-born slugger. This is his fourth team in four major league seasons, and he has sparked spontaneous combustion on the Mets, making two dozen other players better. Where will he be next year? I have no idea. Did I mention that I love rent-a-players?
Craig, do you want to help out with this ambivalence or just join in with both feet?
There's nothing more fun than the rental player, if for no other reason than years from now, you can look back and say, wait a minute, Céspedes played for the Mets? It's like thinking of Reggie Jackson in an Orioles uniform or CC Sabathia in a Brewers uniform. No, I mean, yeah, people say, oh, that stuff never happened, but it was weird and it was crazy, and the baseball season is long, and the idea that one team's misfortunes, the Detroit Tigers just not panning out for them this year, can unload a guy, get a little bit of talent back, and then he can just electrify New York the way he has, I think gives some great dynamism to the baseball season that often doesn't have it.
I just think, you know, it wasn't better when the players couldn't become free agents, right? Musical chairs is the price of freedom as it relates to baseball players, I think, so you have to get used to it.
Are you talking to me as the son of two union organizers? The Brooklyn Dodgers stayed together for 10 years, not because they loved Branch Rickey and Walter O'Malley, but because these guys had a piece of paper on these players.
All right, Craig, what's the story that you think our listeners should be failing to miss this week?
Well, you know, as the playoffs approach, the conversation has shifted from will the Mudville Nine make the playoffs to how did they turn in such a good season? And as we have this sort of retrospective of what happened this year with every team, the one that's come up this week a lot has been team chemistry. And we've seen big stars like CC Sabathia, Jake Peavy, even Pedro Martinez either credit team chemistry, good chemistry, however defined, and they never define it, as the reason a team is winning, or a bad chemistry as a possible explanation for a team not winning. This whole idea of team chemistry, and we need some sort of alchemy or whatever it is to describe a winning team, just seems ridiculous to me.
George, are you a believer in team chemistry?
You know, to some degree. I see a lot of the Mets. I really have become obsessed with them this year. And it is a fun dugout. Everybody seems to enjoy everybody. There's something to that. But then again, the Fighting A's back in the day in Oakland, they literally fought. They were having fistfights. You know, Jeff Kent and Barry Bonds. They fought in the dugout, for goodness. And you didn't know who to root for. That's the thing. When you saw Bonds and Kent, you say, you know, the old joke, go husband, go bear.
Well, that's my favorite thing about chemistry, though. It's always a retrospective application. No one has ever said, wow, look at that team that's you know, 60 and 102. They just love each other. They're fantastic. They get along great. And talent wins. And in baseball more than anything else, I can see the argument for chemistry in a sport where there's more player-on-player interaction. In basketball, your point guard has to be on the same page as your forward. And in football, your receivers and your quarterbacks have to have some second-level communication. But baseball is a one-on-one, isolated incident kind of thing. I'm sorry, no matter how well you get along with your teammates, you got to be able to hit the heat or you got to be able to strike the guy out. And that's what's really more important.
I wonder if chemistry matters more when there's not much else to matter, specifically money. I mean, in amateur sports, chemistry's everything, right? We've all been members of rec leagues, softball, basketball teams, bowling teams, where one jerk can ruin everything. But in the pros, you don't have to be friends with a guy who wins games that bring you more money. That's plenty for him to do, right?
It's literally your job.
All right, we're going to move on to my topic. On Tuesday, a U.S. federal appeals court said no to sports betting in New Jersey casinos and racetracks, and it was silly. There's no morality to defend anymore in this area. illegal betting on sports, $400 billion a year, one estimate at least. The NFL supposedly opposes sports betting, but the owners of the teams partner with fantasy sports operations, which collect hundreds of millions of dollars from fans betting on the performance of NFL players in fantasy leagues. So it'd be better for everybody except the people who are fans of hypocrisy if sports betting joined the state-sponsored lotteries and all the other legal opportunities to gamble. My only worry is that neither of you will disagree, which will make this a very short conversation. George, what do you think?
I come at gambling from a totally different angle. I've seen it up close. I think it's a flaw, a vice, a defect. And I think that when teams allow it into their legality, when they make it part of their identity and leagues, they're going down the road. I'm anti-gambling in a lot of ways. And there's a good reason why it's illegal, and it's another step down the path.
You know, as a point of just personal ethics, I agree with George. I'm pretty much against gambling myself, but I also think that the horse has left that stable long time ago. We are so far down the road to normalizing gambling in society. At this point, it's damage mitigation. You bring it out of the black market and into the white or gray, depending on how you want to characterize state-sponsored gambling. You know, as a baseball guy, my personal thing is if you're betting on baseball in any way, you have bigger problems than just, you know, a gambling addiction. You have like logical problems, because betting on baseball is just ridiculous given its randomness. But the level of league involvement troubles me a little bit. It does raise a few ethical concerns for me, especially when we're still in a world where Pete Rose is public enemy number one in baseball.
My guests for Three Stories You Should Know have been George Vesey, author of 8 World Cups, among other books, and Craig Calcaterra of NBC Sports. Thanks to both of you.
Thank you.
Anytime. Regards.